Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today, and Happy New Year to anyone we haven't spoken with yet in 2026. I'm Kean Marden, Head of Investor Relations, and I'm joined here today by James Hilton, Chief Financial Officer, to present Hays' Q2 2026 results. Before we begin, please be aware that this call is being recorded and the replay is accessible using the number and code provided in the release. Please be aware that our discussions may contain forward-looking statements that are based on current expectations or beliefs, as well as assumptions on future events. There are risk factors which could cause actual results to differ materially from those expressed in or implied by such statements. Hays disclaims any intention or obligation to revise or update any forward-looking statements that have been made during this call, regardless of whether these statements are affected by new information, future events, or otherwise. I'll now hand you over to James.
Thank you, Kean. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining us today. I'll present the key points and regional details of today's trading update before taking questions. As usual, all net fee growth percentages are on a like-for-like basis versus prior year, unless stated otherwise, and consequently exclude our operations in Chile and Colombia, which, as we previously communicated, closed in June 2025. Group net fees decreased by 10%, with temp and contracting down 8% and perm down 14%. Strong consultant net fee productivity growth and cost discipline has broadly offset our lower net fees, and as a result, we expect pre-exceptional operating profit in our first half to be around 20 million, including year-on-year increases in the U.K. and Ireland and Australia and New Zealand, and in line with consensus expectations. I'd like to highlight the following key items from the results. Temp and contracting net fees decreased by 8% as volumes remained solid but were impacted by lower average hours worked in Germany during the quarter. Group temp and contracting volumes decreased by 7% year-on-year, including Germany down 9%, U.K. and Ireland down 12%, ANZ down 8%, and the rest of the world up 1%. Perm net fees decreased by 14%, driven by a 14% decline in volumes, with the group average perm fee flat. We continue to manage our consultant capacity on a business line basis, and despite challenging markets, our actions delivered 6% year-on-year growth in average consultant net fee productivity in Q2, including notable increases in the U.K. and Ireland and in ANZ. This continues the encouraging trend we've demonstrated through FY 2025, and on a seasonally adjusted basis, productivity has now increased for nine consecutive quarters. Consultant headcount reduced by 1% in the quarter and by 15% versus prior year. We will deliver circa 80 million per annum structural cost savings by the end of FY 2029, comprising the 35 million delivered in FY 2025 and the additional 45 million target we communicated at our full year results. We've made strong progress towards the latter, with circa 15 million annualized savings secured in H1 2026, and our non-consultant headcount exited the quarter down 5% year-on-year. The group's net cash position was around 40 million, which reflected normal seasonal inflows and the timing of month-end payments and was in line with our expectations. Payments in the period included 4.6 million in dividends and 1.2 million purchase of shares for employee incentive schemes. DSOs were maintained at 37 days. I now comment on the performance by each division in more detail. Our largest market of Germany saw fees down 14%. Temp and contracting net fees decreased by 13%, with volumes down 9% and a further 4% impact from negative hours and mix. Temp and contracting volumes remained solid overall. However, the modest decline in average hours worked through the summer accelerated further during Q2, driven by cost control measures within our public sector and enterprise clients, largely in the energy and infrastructure sectors. These sectors had hired in anticipation of fiscal stimulus, hence our placement volumes have remained resilient, but hours worked softened in the quarter after federal budget approval was delayed. In perm, conditions remained challenging and fees decreased by 20%. At the specialism level, technology and engineering, our two largest specialisms, were down 10% and 23% respectively. Accountancy and finance was down 22%, and construction and property performed strong once again, with 36% net fee growth, driven by our focus on infrastructure and the energy sector. Consultant headcount decreased by 3% in the quarter and by 14% year-on-year. Despite our ongoing focus on resource allocation, consultant net fee productivity decreased by 1% year-on-year in Q2, impacted by the reduction in average hours worked. In U.K. and Ireland, fees decreased by 9%. Temp and contracting and perm both down by 9%. Temp and contracting net fees were steady through the quarter, while perm remained challenging. Fees in the private sector declined 5%, while the public sector was down 16%. At the specialism level, technology, up 4%, moved back into positive year-on-year growth for the first time since Q2 2023, while construction and property and accountancy and finance decreased by 12% and 10% respectively. Enterprise continued to perform well, with fees up 3%. Consultant headcount decreased by 2% in the quarter and by 22% year-on-year. We have taken decisive action over the last 12 months to improve consultant net fee productivity, with growth accelerating to 15% year-on-year in Q2, and have made good progress in improving operational efficiency. As a result of these actions, the U.K. and Ireland returned to profitability on a pre-exceptional basis in H1 2026. We'll provide further information at the interims detailing how we've returned to profitability, but a key driver has been our greater focus from our consultant on high-skilled roles, consistent with our five-lever strategy. As a result, year-on-year growth in average candidate salary accelerated from 5% in Q1 to 8% in Q2 in both perm and temp and contracting. In ANZ, fees decreased by 1% year-on-year, with activity improving slightly through the quarter. Although temp and contracting decreased by 3% year-on-year, momentum improved during the quarter, and perm net fees, up 2%, moved back into positive year-on-year growth for the first time since Q1 2023, driven by enterprise, executive, resources and mining, and the banking sectors. The private sector increased by 2%, with the public sector down 6%. At the specialism level, construction and property and technology were flat. Accountancy and finance decreased by 1%, while office support was up 1%. Australia net fees were flat year-on-year, with New Zealand tougher at -15%. ANZ consultant headcount was down 1% in the quarter and by 10% year-on-year. Driven by our focus on resource allocation, consultant net fee productivity growth accelerated to 9% year-on-year in Q2. As a result of these actions, we delivered good year-on-year profit growth in H1 on a pre-exceptional basis. As with the U.K. and Ireland, a key driver of our profit recovery has been our greater focus from our consultants on high-skilled roles. As a result, year-on-year growth in the average salary of our perm placements accelerated to 5% in Q2. In our rest of world division, comprising 26 countries, like-for-like fees decreased by 11%. Temp fees decreased by 2%, but perm was tougher and declined by 17%. As a reminder, our total actual growth rate includes the impact from our previously communicated actions to close our operations in Chile and Colombia in June 2025. In EMEA ex-Germany, net fees decreased by 12%. In France, our largest rest of the world country, market conditions remain tough, with fees down 21%. Our actions to address productivity and costs are being delivered on plan, so we expect an improved performance in H2. Southern Europe was stronger, with Portugal and Spain up 16% and 7% respectively, and Poland returned to year-on-year growth and was up 3%. In the Americas, net fees decreased by 10%. The U.S. and Canada were down 9% and 13% respectively. LATAM, down 8%, was again challenging. Asia net fees decreased by 3%, with mixed but improved activity overall through the quarter. Japan declined by 3%, but we continue to drive good growth in our temp and contracting business. Mainland China grew by 3% and Hong Kong by 26%. In December, we announced the closure of our operations in Thailand. For rest of the world as a whole, consultant headcount was flat over the quarter and down 14% year-on-year. As you may recall from previous calls, we have several initiatives underway to build a structurally more profitable and resilient business, underpinned by our culture and talented colleagues worldwide. Before moving to current trading, I wanted a few moments to update you. Amidst challenging markets, we are executing well against our strategy and continue to make significant operational progress. Consultant fee productivity has increased for 9 consecutive quarters and was up 6% year-on-year. Within temp and contracting, net fee growth was positive in 5 of our 8 focus countries in Q2, with standout performances in Spain up 31% and Japan up 21%. We delivered a resilient net fee performance with enterprise clients in Q2. Net fees decreased by 3% year-on-year with good growth in the UK and Ireland and ANZ, offset by contract losses in North America and Switzerland. As we've previously shared with you, our initiatives to improve consultant net fee productivity in real terms through our 5-lever strategy and structurally lower our cost base will be key drivers of profit recovery. H1 reinforces our confidence in this view. Pre-exceptional operating profit is expected to be circa 20 million, down 5 million year on year, despite a 9% or 45 million net fee decline, with the UK and Ireland back in profit and Australia and New Zealand up year on year. Our programmes to structurally reduce our cost base are performing well, and we secured circa 15 million of additional annualised savings in H1 and expect to make further material progress in H2. Moving on to current trading and guidance, and I'd highlight the following. Given ongoing macroeconomic uncertainty and reduced average hours worked in Germany, our new year return to work will be particularly important in FY26, and we are closely monitoring activity levels. We were pleased once again with our net fee productivity through Q2 and believe our group consultant headcount capacity is appropriate for current market conditions, and therefore expect it to remain broadly stable in Q3 as we balance focused investment in high-performing and potential business lines with improving productivity in more challenging areas. We will continue to structurally reduce our cost base to position Hays strongly for when end markets recover. There are no material working day impacts anticipated in Q3 and Q4. And overall, while it is difficult to predict timing, we know our markets will recover. When they do, we remain confident that we are well positioned to benefit materially. I'll now hand you back to the administrator, and we're happy to take your questions.
Dear participants, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 11 on your telephone keypad and wait for a name to be announced. To withdraw a question, please press star 11 again. Please stand by, we'll compile the Q&A queue. This will take a few moments. And now we're going to take our first question. And the question comes to the line of James Rowland Clark from Barclays. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. Just on the top line, it looks like trends are running a little lower than expectations as you exit the first half and head into the second half. I think consensus sits at down low single digit for the second half. Is that fair, and do you think that's achievable? And then my second sort of related question to that is, at the current levels of activity, when in this year or which quarter in this year, this calendar year, would you expect to return to break even or positive net fee growth? And my final question is, on the adjusting operating profit, I think as you guide to 20 million in the first half, but consensus sits at 50 for the second half, that implies a 30 million of EBIT in the second half. Can you just talk about the sort of bridging items to getting to that, given that the top line looks like it's a little under pressure? Thank you.
Thanks, James. I'll try and pick each one of those up in turn. Yes, we delivered 8% decline in net fees in Q1, and that was slightly behind that, minus 10% in Q2. I think the material swing factor between Q1 and Q2 was the working hours in Germany. I think in our other larger businesses around the world, we actually saw some positive movements between Q1 and Q2, notably Australia, which improved versus the first quarter, and actually getting back into year-on-year growth in perm was pretty encouraging, and we saw forward momentum in temp, and it's pretty mixed around the world. But I mean, it was probably a percentage point or two behind our expectations. I think on the other hand, though, we've actually outperformed and delivered better on the structural cost savings than we expected. We expected our consultant headcount to be broadly stable this quarter, which it has done. So that was in line with where we expected it to be. But we've made better progress on the costs. When you put that all together, our profits at circa 20 million, we've offset most of that top line weakness year on year through the cost initiatives. So 20 million is broadly where we expected to be in the first half. In terms of the second half and what we expect for that, I mean, it's really quite difficult at this time of year to be accurately predicting the top line. I think, as I mentioned, in the current trading, the return to work over the next 6 weeks is critical. We always see a drop in temp and contractor volumes over Christmas, and we track how that rebuilds over the next six to eight weeks to see how much how much of that we rebuild and how quickly. And that's a material sensitivity to the second half. And I put on top of that this year the working hours in Germany is a sensitivity for the second half, as is perm activity itself, and whether we drive enough new job registrations and interviews in perm over the next 2 months to deliver what we need in perm. So there's a lot of moving parts, James, for the second half of the year. So it's pretty difficult for me to accurately predict when the business returns back into year-on-year growth. But what we've seen in some of our businesses this year is positivity around the world. And I would say that where we've seen supportive conditions and macroeconomic conditions, take Spain as a good example. We've had a really strong quarter in Spain, year-on-year growth off the back of a really good year last year. That's an economy running at 2.5% GDP, and you can see the performance coming through in a business like that. So, I think a lot of it depends on the wider world as well. Regarding second half from a consensus perspective, we've got a consensus at the moment which is about 48.5 million, something like that, for the full year, which means clearly we've got to do a slightly better second half from a profit perspective than the first half. It's really quite difficult for me to predict the moving parts at the top line. I expect to continue to make progress on the cost savings in the second half, and that's within our gift, and we're making good progress on that, so I expect to deliver a good result in the second half. Really, though, logically, we normally have a better second half than first half due to working days. So provided we see some stability and a return to work in line with our expectations, and we see perm activity come back at levels we saw pre-Christmas, then we've got, that's a realistic number for us. And clearly, we'd be talking differently if we didn't think that was our expectation.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you. Now we're going to take our next question. And the question comes line of Simon Van Oppen from Kepler Cheuvreux. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Thank you, operator, and good morning, gentlemen. So I have two questions. The first one is taking your growth rate at quarter end into account, which was in line with the overall quarter of minus 10%. How do you look at the consultant headcount for the remainder of the year? So how should we look at consultant capacity for the remainder of your fiscal year? And secondly, can you give a bit more granularity on Germany and France by segment, so by temp and perm, and also by sector, so which end markets are performing better versus those that are underperforming? Thank you.
Right, thanks. Thanks, Simon. I'll take the first one on consultant capacity in H2. Relatively simplistically, we're pretty happy with where we are as per guidance, and so next quarter we expect it to be broadly stable, and therefore for the second half I expect it to be broadly stable unless things change materially from where we are now. And as I've just highlighted, clearly we're in a relatively key part of our second half now. So, provided we perform in line with our expectations, I'd expect that to be pretty stable over the half. Doesn't mean that we won't see some mix changes between that, because what we're doing continually is investing in some parts of the business and we may be scaling back in others. But I think net-net, I expect things to stay pretty flat because we're happy with the overall level of capacity for the markets we've got today. In terms of performance within Germany and France by sector, the standout performance in Germany was in our construction and property business. We had strong growth there at north of 30% year-over-year. That was the clear standout. I think we've continued. You've seen, clearly seen some impact of working hours in our results this quarter. We actually saw the start of that in the previous quarter, but it's clearly accelerated in this quarter. When we've looked under the covers of where exactly that is, it's very clear that the client base in our public sector and in our some of our enterprise clients, both of which, when they have leanings towards the infrastructure and energy sectors, that's where we're seeing the weakness in working hours. Several of those clients have hired hard in advance of government-led projects and the government-funded projects. They're holding on to those contractors, so the volumes are there, but the hours haven't come through, and they're managing the costs as those, you know, the funding of those has perhaps been slightly slower than they'd expected. So, you know, we'd rather have the volume in than not. That's a positive. Clearly, the hours is a headwind, and we've seen that this quarter. But that's where we've seen some challenges. I think we've spoken in the past around engineering, and clearly our engineering business, which was down 23%, continues to be impacted by a subdued automotive sector. So we have a high leaning towards that, although I would highlight that the automotive sector now is only around 8% of our business in Germany. And actually, if you look at the mix overall in Germany now, it's, I mean, we're starting to build some significant businesses in defense. For example, 2% of our business is in defense, 7% in construction property, in the energy and infrastructure sector itself, and about 5% of our business. So, hopefully that's given you a good feel. Perm, clearly in Germany, is pretty challenging, down 20%. We had a tough quarter in Q1. We're continuing to see slow decision-making, as we are across most of Northern Europe, which is very different to perhaps Southern Europe and Eastern Europe, which are clearly more supportive. If I move on to France, our business in France has been challenging. It's been a particularly tough market. Our business in France is about 75% perm and 25% temp and contracting. Temp and contracting continues to be resilient. It was modestly down year-over-year. So we have seen a little bit of slowdown in our contracting business there. Really, clients being hesitant to make decisions and commit to projects. Clearly, perm has been impacted in quite broadly. Paris has been really challenging, and the regions has been slightly more supportive. We have a big business in office support and junior finance in our French business. That's been really difficult as businesses are just not getting on and making decisions in the perm markets. It's really hard getting decisions over the line. We're seeing a long time to hire. Business confidence is very low. We've clearly had challenges from a macro perspective in terms of the government policies and getting budgets approved, et cetera. So, you know, the whole business environment in France is very challenging, and I think we're seeing that across, broadly across the industry. I don't think it's a Hays issue. I think it's a market problem. We're not sat on our hands, though, and we're busy reshaping that business. We're working hard to take some of the cost out of that business, both in the front office and the back office, and those plans are performing well. So I expect a better performance in the second half.
That's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Perfect. Thank you. Thanks, Ivan.
Thank you. Now we're going to take our next question. The next question comes from the line of Zach Al-Qaryooti from Morgan Stanley. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Good morning, James. Just two quick questions from me, please. So firstly, the enterprise business still looks more resilient, but net fee growth was a little bit weaker sequentially. So it sounds like that was almost entirely driven by the contract losses in the U.S. and Switzerland. Are you seeing a tougher competitive environment to win and retain this business, or is there nothing more really to read into there? And then secondly, could you just remind us what level of one-off costs you're expecting for the second half? Thank you.
Thanks, Zach. I'll start with the enterprise question, and we were down slightly this quarter, having had several quarters of strong growth in enterprise. I think we were up 4% in Q1, and we were down 3% in Q2. Almost, if I just put on one RPO contract, which we lost sadly in September, that had a swing of about 5% on its own. It was our biggest RPO contract in North America, which has clearly impacted the business in the States and overall our enterprise business. Actually, we've got a really good pipeline of work. We're pleased with how that business is performing. We've got a good pipeline of work coming through. With all these things, clearly, sometimes you win a contract, sometimes you lose a contract. So we're working hard. We're bidding on work selectively. We've got a good win rate. We've got a good pipeline coming through. So I do expect the business to move forward in the second half. So I'm not overly concerned about that. Second question on one-off costs. It's really difficult for me to estimate that in H2. Clearly, in the first half, we've got about 10 million of exceptional costs, which drove about 15 million annualized savings. So it's difficult for me to predict exactly what it will be in the second half. Maybe a similar level again, I would say, at this stage. But clearly, there's some moving parts to that. And a lot of it depends on timing and also depends on where it is. Some parts of the world are significantly more expensive than others to actually make changes. So it really depends on timing and how quickly we get there and where it is. But broadly, I expect to have a similar level of exceptional in the second half.
Very clear. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Now we're going to take our next question. And the question comes from the line of Steve Woolf from Deutsche Bank. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Hi, James. Hi, Kean. Just one to follow up on that comment on the U.S. contract that was lost, given it was your biggest. What was the customer feedback as to why you might have lost that, whether it was, again, price, service, or just a change of heart by the company taking it in-house? And then secondly, just on Germany with those reduced hours, I appreciate you're saying volumes are essentially the same, slightly down. But are you seeing any evidence of flight from candidates who are moving in search of higher hours elsewhere? Just any thoughts there? Thanks.
Thanks, Steve. In terms of why that was lost, it was put out to tender, as these things are. It'd been a long-standing client, and they put that out to tender and went with someone. But their decision is their decision. I'm not going to speculate on what drove that. But we performed well on that contract for many years. Long-standing client. Disappointing to lose it, but that's life in some respects. In terms of Germany hours, and what's really driving that, Steve, I think, is the key. We are still by far the largest provider of contractors and temps in Germany. And we still have the virtuous circle of having the best opportunities for our candidates because we have the best access into the best companies and the best jobs. So I don't think we've seen a flight of talent. We have seen, and this is much more of a longer-term trend, we have seen more candidates choosing to split their time and do two part-time contracts. And that's been a trend that we've seen in the German market now for several years, post-mock employment introduction in sort of late teens. That is part of the market that we're operating now. I don't think that's been a driver at all of what we've seen in the last few months. I think what we've seen in the last few months has been much more directly correlated to specific sectors within energy and infrastructure. So if I look down at all of our clients, client by client, where are we seeing the negative hours trend? It is a very, very clear pattern in those sectors and clients, particularly in the public sector, who are having to manage their own budgets and their own funding. So that clearly hits us this quarter. But as I said earlier, I'd rather have the volume in there and the placement secured. And with a fair following win, we'll benefit from that over the longer term.
Perfect. That's very clear. Thanks, James.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you. Dear participants, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 11 on your telephone keypad. And now we're going to take another question. And the question comes from the line of Simon Lechipre from Jefferies. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Yes. Good morning. Just one for me on the cost savings. So you commented on the 15 million annualized savings by the end of H1. But can you clarify the actual savings contributing to the 20 million EBIT in H1, and how much do you expect for H2, please? Thank you.
So Simon, thanks. Yes, so the 15 million annualized savings is what we've delivered through this half. In terms of the actual half and the full year, in-year cost benefit, we expect to be about 30 million or so in-year benefit from a P&L perspective. And it will be pretty broadly split between the two, slightly more in the first half, slightly less in the second half, about 17.5 in the first and 12.5 in the second, just on timing of that, as we clearly get the annualization of the 35 million that we saved in the previous financial year. Now, clearly, what we save in the second half, to a certain extent, depends on how much cost saves we deliver in the second half, but clearly the annualization of that is relatively low, or so the P&L impact of that is lower in the second half. But we do expect to get some benefit in the second half from those actions as well.
Got it. Thank you.
Thanks, Simon.
Thank you so much. Dear participants, once more, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one one. And now we're going to take our next question. And the question comes from the line of Karl Green from RBC Capital Markets. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Yeah, thanks very much. Good morning. Just going back to the average hours worked in Germany, James, I think you talked about the infrastructure and energy sectors where they'd hired hard. I suppose the question is, they wouldn't have done that if they weren't fairly confident that the funds, the infrastructure funds wouldn't come through, or fiscal stimulus funds, rather, wouldn't come through eventually. So is that the sense you've got that, you know, the although the timing of those fund flows might be uncertain, there is an inevitability to the average hours in those spaces going up once the action starts to materialize? That's the first question. And then the second question, a much broader one. You know, we kind of, here we are again, we've got this European malaise that just keeps pushing, you know, a wishful recovery to the right. To what extent do you think there's a change in the mood in the industry about potential consolidation? You know, it must be the case that it's gonna be harder for consultants to jump ship or set up on their own, for all the reasons that, you know, we think the biggest guys are gonna keep getting bigger and taking market share. What's the latest mood music around M&A, basically? Thank you.
I'll pick the first question up, Karl, on the, you know, is the hours impact a timing issue or rather than a, you know, a step down that's gonna be there for the longer term? It's difficult for me to comment on that, and I'd probably like to wait and see for the second half of the next couple of quarters. I mean, logically, there is an element of logic there that they wouldn't have held on to the volume and wouldn't have recruited so heavily, and then there may be an element of timing in that. But I'd like to wait and see over the next couple of quarters how that trends. I'd like to think that we see some longer term benefit, but, you know, I won't call it until I see it. I think you know me well enough to be prudent enough on that to wait to see how that pans out over the next couple of quarters. In terms of M&A and consolidation, I mean, clearly, you know, the whole recruitment market has had some, you know, challenges over the last two or three years. This has been a very unusual period of economic performance across the world, and we've seen it sequence starting in the States over three years ago. Europe held up for longer, but clearly it is gonna be the last out of this downturn, and but it's not everywhere. You can see in our performance that Southern Europe has maintained strong performance and a strong economy. Spain and Portugal continue to perform really well there, and we're growing well. But it shows what an economy that does 2.5% GDP growth does for a recruitment business. And, you know, I get asked a lot of the time, is this a structural thing? Is it a cyclical problem? You know, whilst the world changes and the world of jobs always changes, new job categories get created, old job categories come and go. It shows that when we have a supportive macro backdrop, we can perform really well and drive business forward and grow, which is what we intend to do. We see huge structural growth opportunity in temp and contracting around the world as businesses continually look for flexible solutions. Candidates want flexible careers, and they want to move jobs more. You know, so the macro drivers that we talk about, the mega trends in the industry and the world of work, I don't think have gone away. But we've been battling in this world for the last two or three years now, where it's been political shocks, geopolitical uncertainties, We've had governments in fiscal pressures and having to cut funding across the world, and that's created a lot of uncertainty in businesses and a lot of uncertainty in candidates. My own view is that won't last forever. Two things will happen. You know, economies will normalize over a period of time, and people get on with their lives and start making their choices of how they want to be for the next 5-10 years, and people will move jobs. And I think, you know, we're starting to see some parts of the world coming through that. I think this, you know, so I can't really speculate on consolidation or M&A, but we're very clear on what our strategy is as an organization and what we're going to go and do and execute on that.
Very clear. Thanks, James.
Thanks, Carl.
Thank you. The speakers are no further questions for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker, James Hilton, for any closing remarks.
Thanks, Nadia. If that's all for questions today, can I thank everyone for joining the call? I'd like to look forward to speaking to you next at our interim results on the 27th of February. And should anyone have any follow-up questions, Kian, Prash and myself will be available to take calls for the rest of the day. Thank you.